Blog Talk Radio.
Listen, no food on the table,
no food on the table.
Jesus.
Thank
I know
you,
that He is able.
I know that He is able. Lord.
And you know what I can't find any words to say? You know what I'll say? Hey, hey, hey.
To God. We thank God on today. Amen. Welcome, amen. Welcome, welcome to Wednesday night Bible study. We welcome you and we just thank God for this opportunity once again to be before you and to be in your presence in the name of Jesus to deliver the word of God, for we are ambassadors of Christ. Amen. To deliver the message that God has placed in the mouth and the heart of his prophet, our pastor. Senior pastor of the Gospel Public Ministries. So as we enter in on today, oh God, let us pray, amen, as we receive the lesson, the word on today, for living your life in grace. Say, Heavenly Father, we come right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we come giving you our honor, praise, and glory, and all the admiration. We come exalting your name above all names, for there's no one greater than you, Lord. Father God, we come, oh God, that we may receive on tonight, oh God. Hallelujah, your word, oh God. Hallelujah, that it would take root in us and manifest itself. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, we just want to say thank you, for we know your word is true and established in heaven. Amen. So Lord, as your word go for them today, Lord, we pray, let us receive divine revelation and knowledge and wisdom and understanding of your word that we may apply to our daily lives and live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, right now we cancel every assignment of Satan and his agents right now to try to cause any hindrance. So we come against every hindering spirit, every unteachable spirit, every fighting spirit, spirit of unbelief. We come against every lying, manipulating, controlling spirit. And we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we command every spirit of destruction to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come against every spirit of distraction, frustration, procrastination, and limitation. And we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we decree and declare this deliverance right now. And we receive it, hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And it is so, and it shall be no other way. We bind our mind to the mind of Christ and your will, Heavenly Father. That thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you, O God, for this day. For this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We bless your holy name, and we thank you for your mercy and your grace. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And this Wednesday night Bible study is going to be led and charged. It's going to be led by Pastor Dorsey Manny. So let us receive on tonight in a mighty way. Grab your Bibles, pen and paper, so that we can receive, and most of all, that we can receive the word and apply it to our lives, that we live a life that is pleasing to the sight of God. Amen. Not according to our own will, but understanding, given the subject tonight, the lesson, living your life in grace. Amen. So Pastor Manny, God bless you. Go ahead. Amen. Okay.
Amen. Amen. I give all honor and glory unto my Father. Amen. Just for the opportunity to be right here right now and to deliver a message, you know, deliver his word, you know, deliver his word to his people. Living in the age of grace, or living your life in grace, you know, what does that look like? what does that look like? Do we understand what grace is all about? I believe we first need to understand that grace is a person. We're talking about Jesus Christ. So when you're living your life in grace, we're talking about you living your life in Christ. Amen. You're living your life in Jesus. Now, this is so significant for us to actually live our lives in reference of who Jesus Christ is. I like what that Apostle Paul is, he's actually the apostle of grace. He's the apostle of grace. So I like what he teaches here, in several places in the Bible here, starting right there after the book of Acts, and it goes on for, I think Romans is the first one, the first book that is right there after Acts. And I like something what it says about the Episcopal Apostle Paul. See, it says here, I'm going to read here from Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And this is a heading and a note of the Bible. I'll be reading it from the New King James Version. Some Bibles have commentary and some Bibles have headers and footnotes. This is a header. So I'm going to read this header. I'm going to read what it says from the New King James Version. It says right here, Paul's greatest work is placed first among the 13 of the Episcopals in the New Testament. It said, while the four gospel presents the word and the works of Jesus Christ, Romans explores the significance of his sacrificial death. Using questions and answer format, it said Paul records the most systematic presentation of the doctrine in the Bible. It also says here, Romans is more than a book of theology. It is a book of practical exhortation. And that's so important. That's so important. When we live in an age of grace, it's not just enough for us to, just learn scripture. Amen. It's not enough for us to just know some words or know the word, of God so people can compare, what we know or challenge us in that place of what we know. It's more better for us to live a practical life or exhortation. Now, and that's where we come in when we say living in the age of grace. Don't just know the word. Definitely know the word. Definitely know the word of grace, because the word of grace is all about us. The word of grace is all about us and all about our lives here, living a practical life. I'm going to read on a little bit more, and then we'll go here to scripture. Right here at this header, it says, the good news of Jesus Christ is more than facts for us to believe. It's also a life for us to be living, a life of righteousness befitting for a person, being justified and freed by God through grace of his redemption in Jesus Christ. So now, how many of us know that we are redeemed? And even what that means, living a life in the age of grace, we should always be reminded and remind ourselves that we are redeemed. We are redeemed. We are free. We are justified by Christ. We're not justified by ourselves. We're not justified by what we can accomplish. Neither are we justified by anybody that's in this world. We are justified by Christ. It's what grace means. Now, John chapter 4. I'll come back to John chapter 4. So let me just ask you a question. What does that look like when you live, living a life of grace? What does that look like, Apostle? Living a life of grace, this is a lifestyle that we live according to how Apostle Paul, the apostle of grace, living a righteous life, that righteousness that shows up in our lives because of Jesus Christ, who is the head of our lives. See, that's what grace looks like. You know, grace looks, your life looks like you live a life in the light of righteousness. Amen. Now, this righteousness that we're talking about, the as the Bible describes, like the fruits of the Spirit, or the production of us being able to produce in our lives, produce the fruits that God has given us to produce through Jesus Christ. Love being number one. Amen. Joy, peace, you know, holiness, sanctification, wholeness, forgiveness, patience. Amen. Temperance, gentleness, kindness, faith. You know, this is that grace. This is that grace that we're talking about. And this is produced by being in Christ and Christ being in you. It will always show up. Amen. There will always be times to where we have a choice. We have a choice to use the grace that has been freely given unto us in every single situation that we face. Amen. How many times have we been faced with something that was in our life, whatever it is, and we choose not to use the grace-filled gifts or use Jesus Christ as a reference, use God as a reference right here in the time of whatever it is that is going on, whether it's something that was going on in your finances, whether it was something that's going on in your relationships, whether it was something that was going on between you and your neighbor. How many times have we chose not to use the grace field? We chose not to be righteous. So that's what I'm saying. Because this is a choice. You know, you choose to live your life how you want to live your life. Amen. You choose to live your life how you want to live your life. That doesn't mean that you're not in grace. Not at all. That does not mean that you're not in grace. That means that you made a choice not to refer to it how Jesus Christ has for us to refer to it. Amen. I want to read over here. What did I say, Apostle? Romans? John chapter. I want to go over here to John. Thank you. I want to go over here to John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1. And I'll start right here with verse 1, but I want to make my way over here to John chapter 1 and verses 14. And I'll read this from the King James Version. This reads here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life." See, it's already talking about us. Already talking about us, because we know that we are created, because we're right here living right now. 4 says, "In him was life, and the life was made light of man." So here it is. We know that the light of man, you know, is the Word of God. The Word of God is the light of man. And because we are alive, that means that we are living underneath, you know, the creation of God, the spoken word of God, or what God created. Amen. Let's move forward. "And the light shine," 5, "and the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, just as you and I are." You and I are who are baptized. You and I who are saved. Amen. Who are filled with the Holy Ghost. We were definitely called, and we are sent out to bear witness of the light of God. I'm talking about the grace of God. This is places where we can see how we live a life in grace. God did not save us just for us to stay the same or be in the same place. You know, God definitely called us out of darkness. He called us out of the place of death and destruction and darkness and called us into his light for us to bear witness, just like John right here, just like John in the Bible. Amen. So let's move forward. 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. 10. He in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Talk about Jesus now at this point. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And 14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, just right now. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, here we have Jesus Christ. Here is John being that witness of who is to come. Now, we can read a little bit farther, but we're just going to just stay right here. Who it is to come, who is full of grace and truth. We understand that Jesus Christ, who is grace, he is full of grace and truth. But where do we fit in at right here in living a life of grace? See, now you understand where you fit in. You fit in right here being full of grace and truth because you are full of God. You are full of Jesus Christ. You had confessed one day that he lived and that he died and that he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven, and you asked him to come into your life and be the head of your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. You know what that means when you ask somebody to lead you and to guide you? I mean, that means a whole lot. When you ask somebody to lead you and ask somebody to guide you in your life, you're not asking them just for one time in your life. No, this is a lifestyle, and that's what we ask God to do, to come into our life, to be our leader, you know, to be our shepherd, to be our help, to be our everything. This is that life in practicality. But see, we have to live that life in practicality, you know, being practical about it. So now, Apostle, I want to ask you a question here. Has there ever been a time, you know, to where the grace of God, you know, that God gives us grace? I'm talking about Jesus. Has there ever been a time to where you practically, you know, had to use what God gave you in a particular situation? It don't have to be anything specific, but if you would like to say something, you know, specific, has there ever been a time where you know that if it had not been, you know, for God, you know, that had already taught you and tell you what to say and what to do, you know, where you actually had to use, you know, the grace of God?
Yes, there have been times where I've had to.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't have to speak on it, but there have been.
Amen.
There have been times. What you want me to answer? You said
yes.
Just to answer, yes, I have.
Okay. And the reason why I'm asking that, because you really can't answer that question unless you know that there has been a time to where the word of God. So we just read right here in John chapter 1. That's why I asked that question. We read right here in John chapter 1, and it reads here, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And it said the word had became flesh and dwelt amongst the people. All right, so this right here, you know, we're talking about a life of Jesus Christ, you know, right before, you know, he had started his ministry, obviously. Obviously, this was right before. I'm not saying that there wasn't things that that's recorded before the book of John. But what I'm saying is that, you know, this is right here in that place. We know that it was prophesied, you know, that he was coming, and that John knew that he would baptize Jesus. He knew that he would baptize Jesus, so we know that he was still alive right here, this place. This is just a place of the prophecy being fulfilled. But there's a lot of food that's right here in the book of John. There's a whole lot of food here, especially when Jesus himself begins to minister here in the book of John. So I want to just look at, you know, some things that that Jesus Christ himself, who is grace. See, we need to start looking at grace as a person. Who is grace? To what he had told us to do and told us not to do. And specific places that I like to go, you know, I like to see, you know, God operating, you know, in the lives, operating right there in the flesh. Well, in John chapter 3, you know, there's a place right here where Nicodemus, you know, he was a ruler. He was a Pharisee, you know. He was a Pharisee, you know, a ruler of the Jews, and how he had came to Jesus, you know, by night. You know, he came to him by night, and, you know, he was asking Jesus, you know, questions, you know, asking Jesus questions, because even Nicodemus knew that, well, hey, this is somebody that is that has authority. This is somebody that able to do things that no one has ever seen him able to do. I just want to read a little bit of that right now. See, we're still talking about living a life. So we too, and the reason why I want to read this, because we too, when we experience things in our lives, you know, we may be going in a certain direction and believe in a certain kind of way, but here it is, you know, we also have those times to where we go to God, you know, and ask God about, you know, about these things, whatever it is. I want to read this, what it says here between Jesus and Nicodemus right here in John chapter 3. Amen. John chapter 3 and verses 3. It reads here, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. All right, for Nicodemus said unto him, well, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And it says, marvel not that I say of thee, you must be born again. Amen. So now let's just move on a little bit farther here. So now here in 9, John chapter 3 and verses 9, it says, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou the master of Israel, and knoweth not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that what we know, and testify that what we have seen, and we receive not of our witness. How many times, that's why I asked that question, how many times have we been in that place to where, you know, we know what God has said to us, we know what God has said about those things that is concerning us, but here it is, you know, we've actually seen things happen. We've seen things, we've seen the grace of God show up in our lives. We've seen the grace of God show up, you know, in the lives of our family members and friends. We have actually bared witness of this. We have. So now, because that we are in grace, so if we've actually witnessed these things show up in our life, how is it, you know, it's kind of hard for us to, you know, when times get rough. I'm talking about when things begin to happen in our lives. Why is it that we don't refer to the very one that we've seen work all these miracles, the one that have changed these things around, you know, when nobody knew how it was going to get done and these things got done? How come we go into that place? Amen. It is for us to live in a life of grace. Now, Jesus being full of grace and truth, we as being the adopted children of God, are we full of grace and truth? Are we full of grace and truth? Are we just people, that are just going with the flow and just living, moment to moment? I hear people say all the time, I'm just living from check to check. and the reason why, when I hear stuff like that, I'm just living from check to check, basically what you're saying is, I'm just going with the flow. I'm just living however life, whatever life throws me. I'm going to use whatever it is that I got. Whether it's hard, okay, I'm just going to deal with it. Mm. When it's good, if everything is good, I'm just going with the flow, But, that's not how God intends for us to live. He don't intend for us just to live any kind of way, especially those of us who are in Christ. He expects for us to live an abundant life, a fruit-filled life, a producing life, a righteous life. That's the intent of God concerning us. Amen. Let's look at John chapter, where else going with this? John chapter 13. Let's look at John chapter 13, and then we'll move on to John chapter 14. We want to see Jesus Christ right here, and he's actually telling us how he wants us to live. There's no secrets about it. He tells us how he wants us to live. John chapter 13, this was a place right after, supper. This was right after Jesus, he was right there, with his disciples here. This was the time, after there was the washing, of the feet. Here it is, Jesus Christ, washing, the feet of his disciples. This is right after that time. So let's look at what he said, what he was saying right there to his apostles. And just so happened what I just said, this is where Jesus was washing the feet of his apostles. This is that place where he was serving. Amen. And we'll come back to service. We'll come back to that place of service, which is a very significant place. When we live in that life in grace, our life is a life of service. Amen. Let's look what he says. But we need to know what to serve. So let's look what Jesus said over here in John chapter 13. And let's start here at verses 31. It reads here, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. 32, if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. 33, little children, yet a little while I am with you, yet shall seek me, yet you shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come, and now I say it to you. And 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. I'm going to stop right here for a second. Do we realize that Jesus, full of grace and truth, see, he's right here in this place where he's preparing, his disciples, he's preparing them. He's telling them that, I'm going to have to leave you, but now I'm not going to leave you for long. I'm just going to leave you for, I'm going to be gone for a little while. He's letting them know that. And then he gives them a commandment. And this is where we come in at, where we know that we are living in a life of grace. You know, because grace, you know, this is a life how God intends for us to live. Look what he says here. He says that we love one another, that I have, he said, just like I have loved you, that we love one another. Amen. Mm-hmm. See, when we live, when you live in a life of grace, this is a new, it's something new. God has said something new. He said, love one another. Love one another. And we know that when you are in Christ and you are the righteousness of God, we know that the fruits of righteousness, the first one being love. Amen. The first one being love. So this is what we know we are living. This is how we know that we are living a life of grace, when we're loving our neighbors, when we're loving on one another. I know it's hard to do sometimes, because we tend to do things and we tend to say things to one another that's very hurtful and harmful. Amen. Amen. I know it's not just me. We tend to do things and to say things that are very hurtful and harmful to people. And I'm going to say this again. That does not mean that you're not in grace. That does not mean that Jesus is not in you. What this means is that this is an opportunity for you to choose on what it is that you're going to say and what it is you're going to do. And you get this by knowing what God has already done. And we are to be a witness and an example, and we are to do like God did. As hard as that may be, we still are to do just as Christ instructs for us to do. Now, if love is on the inside, then love should be the very thing that comes out when the time comes, when there's an opportunity to love. Let's not waste an opportunity to love. When there's an opportunity to be in faith, or to, when there's an opportunity for you to exhibit your faith, then let's not turn that down. Like, you know, okay, well, I'll believe next time, or I'll trust next time, or I'll say what the word of God said concerning this thing next time. When there's an opportunity, see, we talk about living a life of grace. When there's an opportunity for you to choose peace, and I'm using that word choose because everybody has a choice. When there's an opportunity for you to choose peace, then choose peace instead of, you know, being a peace breaker, you know, choose to be a peacemaker. The reason why I'm saying this is because you're not just choosing something for yourself. That means that you are practically choosing grace. You are practically choosing Jesus Christ. You are practically listening and following the Holy Spirit that's saying, hey, do this. I'm going to get you out of this. Do this. You may not understand it right there in that present moment, but God understands what it is that you're going through right now. And he also understands that he the one that made the provision through Jesus Christ to bring you out. So use Jesus Christ. Use grace. Amen. When there's an opportunity for us to be sad, as for us, or for us to be weak. See, that's what that word joy, you know, that word joy, is, that means for us to be strong in the Lord. For us, you know, to be strong in that word, for us to brighten up, because we have the joy of the Lord that's on the inside of us. So let's choose joy. Let's choose to be strong in the Lord and what he has said. There's a place in the Bible where it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. There's also a place in the Bible where it says, where am I going with this passage? It says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The one, give me that scripture that says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So if faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, and we know that the joy of the Lord is my strength, we know that the word of God, you know, it strengthens you. So these two places, this is a place, you know, where we are full of grace and where we're full of truth and where we're walking in our calling. We are called. We are definitely called to be righteous. Amen. Every single body is called to be righteous. Everybody don't accept the call at first. And everybody that has accepted the call don't walk in their calling, but that does not mean that you're not righteous. Amen. John chapter 14. Listen what Jesus says. John chapter 14 and John chapter 14 and verses, let's start here, verses 20. John chapter 14 and verses 20. Jesus, what he's saying right here to his disciples, he says, at the day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. 21, he that hath commanded to keepeth them, he said, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself in him. See, this is grace right here. This is practically Jesus, he's telling you right practically. This is what grace looks like. This is what grace looks like. Now 27. Let's move down here to 27. Jesus says, let's go back to 26. Jesus says, but the Comforter, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He said, peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't let your heart be afraid, church, to love one another. Don't let your heart be afraid to enter into that Jesus peace. That is a grace-filled gift, and you know this because there's always a tugging on the heart. When you are full of Christ, there's always a tugging on the heart. There's always a governing spirit that's on the inside of you that's speaking to you. And when he's talking about the Holy Ghost, he's talking about the Comforter. The Holy Ghost that's living on the inside of you would never let you go anywhere without giving you a warning or without telling you, hey, don't go there or do this. The Holy Ghost would never do that. Now, you have the will and the right to do what you want to do. But we cannot say that, well, I didn't know. I said that because I didn't know any better. Neither can we say that, well, God didn't speak to me. No, God is always speaking. God is always speaking to us. So we are to live, you know, this life of grace, live a life of grace. Do we have any questions, or any comments so far? If you do have any questions or comment, you know, do press one. Press one right now, and you can ask any question. If it's related to living a life of grace, it may be something that you may want to, you may even have a testimony about something. You know, press one. We would like to hear from you. You know, we are all family. And this is that opportunity for we can ask questions, you know, and we can answer questions and, you know, we can get some revelation. We can really dig into the word of God, you know, at this time. You know, we're not always have the opportunity to do that while we're in Sunday service or any other services. But Bible study is the time to study the Bible. Amen. So do press one. Press one. Do you have any questions? Apostle, you have any questions?
I have a comment to the lesson. First of all, I pray everybody can hear because we are operating on an app here. And so I just pray that it's not echoing too bad or a lot of feedback so that we're able to receive without the distractions. I mean, yeah, any distraction. And so we're working the red here. But what I did want to just kind of add to the lesson, if I may, and I take away from anything that you already have given us already. But when we're talking about grace, I think sometimes people, when we hear people say mercy and grace, mm-hmm. and sometimes we look at them being both the same, even though they are, they intertwine with mm-hmm. one another, having God's mercy and grace, yeah. you know, having mercy on you in certain situations and giving you grace, amen, and we have grace. Wow. So I'm taking down notes, and then I have a couple of scriptures here, if I may, just to add a little bit to what Pastor Manny was already teaching here tonight, when we're talking about living your life in grace. And it's in whole dependency on Christ, mm-hmm. with all trust, mm-hmm. surrendered all over to Christ, mm-hmm. and allowing yourself to receive Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So when the word says, he said, if you abide in me, I will abide in you, mm-hmm. and having Christ in us, working things out for our good, amen, and receiving that, you know, that grace. And people say all the time, it was only by the grace of God that I made it out. That mm-hmm. thing that should have taken me out, mm-hmm. when it could have been, it should have been, but the grace of, because the grace of God upon my life, because I'm in Christ, I was able to come through what should have killed me, mm-hmm. didn't, because the grace of God is on my life. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so when we look at, but when the Bible, and I'm not going to hold it too long, I'm going to get back to Pastor Manning, and I just love this lesson, you know, understanding that we're living in the covenant and time of grace. Mm-hmm. Amen. We don't live according to the law. Mm-hmm. Jesus came to fulfill the law. So those of us that are in Christ, he came to do what the law could not fulfill. Amen. He came to fulfill the law in itself, complete. It is done. It is done. No man could fulfill it. But Jesus came and he did. And so now we're not debt to the law. Amen. So we are in Christ and we are redeemed. Wow. By grace. So one scripture I wanted to share was in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 through 8, if I may. And then I'll hand it back over to Pastor Manny. So thank you, Pastor Manny, for this. And I thank God for using you tonight for this, because a lot of times we are still living in bondage, trying to live according to the law, what we can do. Trying to be good and say, oh, I'm so good, and I didn't do this, but I did this, but what about this? So that makes me good. But you have people that still don't believe. They're going by what they can do, how they can see it, where they can go, and understand when you realize that you're living under grace, the covenant of grace, amen, then you'll be able to live a more peaceful life. You'll be able to truly, you know, give it all over and receive your forgiveness, amen, and forgive others, amen. You'll be able to render that forgiveness and receive it. A lot of people are saying, I forgive and I forgive myself, but they're still living in bondage because they have not. But once you understand that you are living under the covenant of grace, the time of grace, amen. So if you go to the book of Ephesians with me quickly here, and if you have any questions or comments on tonight's lesson, please press 1. Since nobody has pressed 1, I'm just taking this little time since Pastor Manning has allowed me here tonight. I appreciate it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 through 8, like I said, I'll make it quick here as we're about to wrap up. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 through 8, the Bible says, hallelujah, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness, hallelujah, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, hallelujah, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, hallelujah. I want us to understand, my Lord, my God, here that grace is God's voluntary and loving favor given to those he saves. Amen. Hallelujah. We can't earn salvation, nor do we deserve it. I want you to understand, not your intellect, hallelujah, or your moral effort can gain it. Amen. This is God who has given it to us, those who are saved, those of us that are in Christ, because it comes only from God's mercy and love. See, without God's grace, no person can be saved. Amen. Now, what I'm telling you, without it, you cannot be saved. But we thank God for Jesus. Now, to receive it, we must acknowledge that we cannot save ourselves. that only God can save us, and that our only way to receive this love and favor is through faith in Christ, mm-hmm. Jesus, who is, like Pastor Manny said, is grace.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. God's grace gives us salvation. And that's all I have to say this evening. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. God's grace definitely gives us salvation. You actually got over into a place to where, you know, we can have a whole nother Bible lesson there. But this grace that we are living this life, you know, in grace, you know, let's understand every single scripture and provision you had, you know, it was talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
It was talking about Jesus because he is grace. You know, when we start looking at grace, you know, as a person, then we can take, like John chapter 1 and verses 1 said, you know, in the beginning there was the Word. So we have already established right here that Jesus Christ is grace, and it's also established right here, it's understood that Jesus Christ is the Word. And that's the reason why when we live, you know, a life of grace, we live a life of the Word of grace. Because of a new covenant that we're living in, of a new agreement. And we are the one that, we didn't make the agreement, but we entered into the agreement. So when you enter into an agreement of grace, then we must understand that the Word of God, which is grace, which is mercy, and which is truth, this is the mercies, you know, saying of Him, this is truth. It requires for us to live a life being in the Word of God. And we have it right here at our fingertips. We have the Bible sometimes, you know, the Bible may collect dust right there on the nightstand, but it don't mean that we don't have access, you know, to the written Word of God. We have access to it. All of the laws and all of the promises for us to study. We have every single thing that we need, right? Every single thing. There is nothing when it comes down to the life that we live that have not already been provided through Christ Jesus. That have not already been provided through grace.
Amen.
There's nothing. 1 Thessalonians. Amen. We're not pushing for time, but we're kind of coming downhill on time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 10. It reads here, and to esteem them very highly in love for every work's sake. Here we are again, back here. For some reason, I can't move off this place of love, because if you don't get that right, you know, how can we expect to get any of the other grace-filled gifts right if we don't get the first one that God told us to get right is love? And here it is right here in Scripture. We know that it says to esteem others higher in love. It's hard for you to tell me to love somebody better than I love myself. It's hard for a person to put somebody else first and put yourself second. That's what it means, esteem, to think of someone else more than you think of yourself. How many of us can really, truly say that we do that? Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 15, it reads here, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. And how many of us can say that? How many of us can say that we are full of grace, but we do not render evil for evil? Amen or ouch. Amen or ouch. It's all right. That's why we have this written Word of God. You know, you know what? One of my apostle friends, she said this, and she was so true when she said this. She said that when you get into the Word of God, you can actually see it breathes. You can actually see the word of God, like it's alive. That's right there. You know, when you actually get into it, not just read it, but to actually, now when you read something, or like when you read a book.
Believe it with your reason. I think that's the difference when you come alive to you because you believe it.
But think about this here. Like when you read a book, a book really get into the intimate details of what its words are saying, because it's really bringing into focus and into view. It's almost like you right there in the place, like right there with it. My wife, she's a writer. Apostle, she's a writer, and I've had a chance to hear some of the things that she have written, and I tell you, I was just right there. It was almost like I was just right there, almost like I was one of the characters inside of the story. But guess what? You know, this is the book of life. So when you read this right here book that has the word of grace on the inside of it, read it in that place of you being right there in that place, because you are really right there in the presence of God right here, because you're doing something spiritual. When you read it in the word of grace, and when you live in the word of grace, and then you read the word of grace right here in the new covenant or the New Testament, the new Episcopals, it comes to life on the inside. I like how one of my apostle friends, how she said that, because when she said that, I started looking at it, and you know what? She's exactly right. But that's what I was asking that question there. How many times do we render evil for evil? You know, all the time. Let's just be honest about it. And this is over here in 1 Thessalonians 5. 16 says, rejoice evermore. 17 says, pray without ceasing. Those two right there, 16 and 17. How many of us can say that when we're in a situation, our response is brightening it up about it? Hey, thinking about Jesus, what he have already done, what he have already accomplished in our life, Jesus being the propitiation and the redemption for us already, seated in heaven right now on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And, you know, he's talking to God on our behalf, and right there, you know, he's interceding for us. So right here in this place, you know, where we pray, when we just trust in Jesus Christ, because we know that he already talking to God about that thing that we're going through right now. How many of us can say that we always remember that? How many of us can say, you know, that we always make a conscious mind to brighten up or to rejoice, to rejoice about it, or to even pray about it at all? You know that complaining is prayer. That's negative. That's negative. Saying something negative about what it is, complaint, murmuring and complaining is saying something negative. That is actually you're voicing what it is that's going on, and you are actually, you're leaning right there in that area of that what you're murmuring and complaining about. You know, it tends to show up the more you stay in that place. So I encourage each and every one of you to allow this word, the word of God, that have already been preached, that have already been established, that you have heard it from apostles and prophets and pastors and evangelists, you have heard it from the people on the street in the grocery store, you have heard the good news, you have heard the word of grace, you know, time and time again. It even been spoken to you right there in the middle of your troubles. Right there in the middle of your troubles, has been spoken to you. Let this life be your life. If you have not yet, let today be that day. Amen. You know what I'm encouraged to do? You know, we only have a little bit more time left. I'm so encouraged right now to invite someone into the body of Christ, whether you're online or whether you're right here in service with us. I think we always should give the opportunity to open up the doors of the church. You know, I'm so inclined to do this because how can you say that you have grace if you had not been saved? So right now, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for anybody that has not been saved for you to be saved. I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Father, I realize that I am a sinner. And I ask you, Father God, to come into my life as my personal Lord and Savior. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for every single one of my sins. And for every single one of my sins, Father, I realize that you have died for me already. You already did it. You have done the work. You died, Father God. You defeated Satan on the cross. That was a finished work right there. You stripped him of his power. You took the keys of death and Hades right there. You went to hell for me, Father. You stayed there 3 days and three nights, Father God. But you didn't just stay right there, Father, but you rose from the dead. The Holy Spirit resurrected you from the dead. I believe that. I confess that right now with my mouth, Father. And from then, Father God, you ascended into heaven. And when you ascended into heaven, at the same time, this grace of you, the Holy Spirit, it descended, Father God. It descended right here on earth. You sit right now on the right hand of God the Father Almighty interceding for me. And I confess, Father God, that this is true, that this happened. And I ask you right now, Father God, to forgive me and to come into my life as my personal Lord and Savior right now. And I confess right now that I am saved. If you prayed that prayer, Apostle Tyronique and I, we would like to welcome you to the family of Christ. We would like to welcome you to the kingdom of God. We would like to welcome you to this life full of grace and truth because you just received God on the inside. And I would like for y'all to give us a call. Apostle, can you give them your contact number? Because we would like to welcome them. We would like to welcome everybody. Give me your contact number.
346-243-0980. And number again is 346-243-0980.
Amen. Amen. If you have that number right there, I would like to say, you know, give Apostle Tyronique, you know, give her a call or give her a text message, you know, let us know, you know, who you are and where you're from. And we would like, you know, to personally welcome you. We'd like to personally welcome you in the body of Christ. But don't just stop right there. We would like to disciple you. If you know you choose us, you know, to disciple you, we would love to disciple you. We would love to pray with you and pray for you and keep on sharing this word. God bless everybody. We have ran out of time. You know, this has been such a great time, you know, studying the word of God, you know, reading the word of God. You know, but we have to go right now. You know, there's I don't think there's any more time left on the thing, so let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for every single opportunity that you give to us, Father. We thank you for every single word and every single provision that you have already accomplished in our lives. We pray, Father God, that this word, that it helps us, you know, it builds us, it encourages us, because it is your word. We know that your word is true. And because your word is true, Father God, we expect it right now to show up in our lives. We know, Father God, that we make some mistakes, but we thank you that you are our Father. You don't look at us for the mistakes that we made. You look at us as being in Christ and being in you, and we're able to recover because you have already paid that price. And we just want to say thank you, Father God. We thank you for loving us, Father, for loving us so much, because you truly are full of grace, full of mercy, and full of truth. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody all over the church do say amen. God bless every single one of you. We be looking forward to seeing you here again on Sunday at the 10 a.m. hour on this very line, 845-277-9213. And even at the 2 p.m. service on Sunday, at the same number, 845-277-9213. God bless you, and may God keep you. Enjoy your night right now in the name of Jesus. But don't put this Bible down. Get some more of this right here word because it's for you. It's something that's for you. God bless you.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want
to
hear him say,
give it back to you. You give me my husband, you know I love him. And now I'll give him back so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streets, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when it gets, but if you're asking, he'll give you that. Like, can you imagine living without all his grace? Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Prayed you for all of my days until I finally stop breathing. Yeah.
Get there.